Well, hello again, everybody. My name is Tobe. You're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I am the president of the Dubious Goals Committee, the chairman of the committee, and I'm also the corrupt financial officer of the committee. So don't send any money. Guess what I have? You probably already figured it out. I can make crazy noises. That's right, I finally figured out a way to record my cheesy little drum machine. And if you know me, you know how I'm loath to call something like this a drum machine. It doesn't say Lintronics on it anywhere. This is a piece of junk, and I bought it just because I like to solder things. And I found a thing online that says, hey, you like to solder stuff? Look at all these parts. We'll give you all these parts and a board, and you can solder it all together, and you'll have this cheesy little drum machine that has four buttons and sounds like this. Oh, yeah. Dig that digital groove. Can you dig it? Oh yeah. Ooh, now that's a beat I can dance to. Woo! And people thought that drum machines were gonna put drummers out of work. How stupid are people? All right, let's kill this thing for a second. Bunka chaka, bunka chaka. And I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, that sounds pretty neat. I think I'd like to have one of those. Well, maybe you might, maybe you might not. I should warn you, first of all, that it does require some soldering skills, and this is not a beginning solderer's project. Well, it depends on how good of a beginner you are, but this does require some experience in assembling PCBs. I should also tell you that there's no visual indicators except for a flashing LED that flashes incorrectly. And so, if you know the jargon, this drum machine is all tap right. So if you can't tap right, good luck. What is tap right? It means you gotta play the drum beat yourself. Let's do one. Let's see how bad I am at tap writing. We'll start it off here. Ooh, I got some bass drum, yeah. Let's make some better bass drum. Four, one, and two, and three, and four, and... Oh, that's way off. It's cute, though. Okay, that sounds nice and creative. Let's add some snare. Okay, that's working for me. Let's get some backbeat in there. Go with some closed hi-hat. Oh, that's scrooby. Let's try to correct it. Okay. That kind of works. Give me some claps. Ooh, we got some claps. Now we're doing like 80s music. All right, give me some of those weird tom-toms. Oh yeah, we're having a good time now. And that's how you create drum patterns with a tap writing drum machine. Gonna crank that sucker all the way down here. In fact, why don't we just turn it off and get to something a little bit more productive here. The other minor or even major problem with this thing is that the output is speaker level, which is great if all you're going to do is dink around with it with your headphones on, but as soon as you want to record anything, you'd better have some more gear. Good stuff too, the pro stuff, not the crap that came with your computer. But the truth of the matter is, you're just better off hiring a drummer. They work cheap, you can get them for half a case of beer, sometimes less, and you don't have any problems with them like you have with a drum. Well, I was going to say, you don't have problems with them like you have with a drum machine, because drum machines do like to die in the middle of gigs, which is a little inconvenient at best. I would say get a drummer, but drummers do come with their own set of problems. It's slightly less annoying, but oh my god. Did I tell you about the time I locked my keys in the car at a gig? Yeah, it took me half an hour to get my drummer out. That's the kind of problem you'll have with a real drummer. You know, the point is, just get up on stage and play. Nobody's going to know the difference if your drummer's terrible or if he's any good, or if you're terrible or any good. And this itself reminds me of a funny story from my youth. And this concerns a known celebrity today by the name of Conor Oberst. You know Conor Oberst, the Bright Eyes guy? Yeah, you probably know him. Did you know he is from Omaha? You probably knew that too. So let me tell you this little story about Conor in the early days of his career here in Omaha. One day I was hanging out with my friend Scott, who lived down the street from me, and he lived in this tiny little one-room apartment that was right behind this bar. And this bar was a very interesting bar that was basically a tax write-off for a prominent lawyer in town here. And he was also a jazz musician, and so he had this little bar that he just used as an excuse for he and his buddies to play jazz once a week, okay? And so this bar wasn't well attended. It was closed most nights, and it was open for lunch, and the only people who ever ate there were a couple of mailmen. But regardless, this bar also did some music sometimes on weekends, and it was sort of an entry-level venue, meaning it had a tiny stage that was about all of 100 square feet, and you could get about 40 people in the venue. So I'm hanging out with my friend Scott one day, and I'm getting ready to go back home, and he says, "Oh, by the way, are you coming down tonight?" "Oh, what's going on tonight?" He meant, you know, at the bar. He said, "Oh, Conor Oberst is playing." And I said, "Oh, that kid. You gotta understand something about Conor. He was in junior high at the time, so he was probably about 13 or 14 years old, and he was easily the hardest working kid of that age I have ever met in my life. This kid wanted to make it so bad, he was working. He was putting in the work. Don't let anybody ever tell you that he didn't pay his dues." Well, Conor used to have a band called Commander Venus, and Commander Venus was the band that was going to be playing at the bar, and I'd never heard of him. I'd never heard the band, but I'd heard of Conor, and I knew who he was and all this stuff because, you know, I'm a music scenester myself. I get around. And so I said, "Yeah, maybe I'll come down and check it out. I've been meaning to check this guy out." So later that night, I walk down to the bar, and I go in, and there's three guys up on stage. One of them's Conor, one of them's a bass player, and one of them's a drummer. And Connor's going to play guitar, and they're tuning up and getting ready, and Connor's tuning his guitar, and the bass player's just standing there. And then Conor starts tuning the bass player's bass. You know, the bass player's wearing it, and so Conor's plucking a string and tuning the peg, and while he's doing this, the bass player says into the microphone, "It's like, yeah, I gotta have somebody else tune my bass because I am completely tone deaf." Okay, that's fine. You can be a tone deaf musician, and it's a fretted instrument. You don't have to, all you gotta know is where to put your fingers, okay? So I thought, okay, well, that's an omen of some kind, but maybe not really, but they are kids, so I'm sure it's probably heal. And sure enough, what happens? The band starts up and they're playing their music, and the guy who just admitted to being tone deaf is in fact the singer of the band. It hurt me in my pancreas. The best part of it was their music wasn't, how do I say this? There was no chord progressions. The music itself wasn't melody and harmony based. It was all rhythm based. And so it's kind of like, oh, they learned a chord, but they didn't know what chord to go to next. So instead of having a chord progression or any kind of tension and release in music, all of their music was very bizarrely rhythmic, and so they would play a chord and it would, their songs would go jan 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 jan, you know, for like 8 bars, and then the next 8 bars would be something completely different, jan 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 jan, and so their songs would be jan 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 jan. It was like that continuously. And whereas I thought that was awesome and interesting, it kind of wore on me after a while, so eventually I had to take off just because it was a sonic assault upon my delicate flowers of ears. But it was good stuff. And they were into it, and they were killing it. They were just crushing it, and the crowd, all of their junior high peers were going nuts, and it was awesome. And throughout the years, I caught most of Connor's other bands, and they progressively got more and more complex and interesting and good. And some of it I liked, some of it I thought was complete garbage, but that's going to happen to any artist that I hear. And after a while, I kind of started thinking, oh, this kid might have what it takes to make it. And by anybody's measure, you would probably say that, yeah, he has made it. If you don't know who he is, you don't have your ear to the ground. And the funny thing is yeah, a couple years ago, my cousin who lives in New Mexico, she emails me one day and says, have you ever heard of somebody named Connor Oberst or the band Bright Eyes? And I'm like, he's from Omaha. And I'm like, yeah, I know who Connor Oberst is. You know, it turns out she's a big, huge Connor Oberst fan freak. And the last time she was in town, I had to drive her around town and show her all the places where Connor Oberst has played. And I even had to drive her by Connor Oberst's childhood home and all this stuff. Had to drive her by Saddle Creek Records and all that stuff. And had to drive up and down Saddle Creek Street for it was a hoot. Apparently other people think it's a big deal. I had no idea. Yes, I do know every musician and band personally that has ever come out of Omaha. So if any of you are going, oh, 311, 311, 311. Yes, I know 311. As a matter of fact, before 311 was 311, Tim Mahoney, their guitar player, was in my band. Yeah, we had this crazy little band in high school called Simple Mania. We were your typical, you know, party cover band, thrashing away at the punk rock standards and having a good time playing Clash tunes and generally being idiots before I started my serious musical career. But yeah, Tim Mahoney then, when that band broke up, Tim Mahoney started a new band called Unity, and Unity eventually became 311, and if you've ever wondered why 311 called their first album Unity, it was an homage! Yeah, we formed that band. It was me and my friend Booper, who you've heard me talk about, and one day Booper says to me, this is when we're trying to form the band, I was playing bass and he's playing drums and we're looking for a guitar player, and he's like, well, what about Tim Mahoney? And I'm like, Mrs. Mahoney's son? Tim Mahoney's mom used to be a paraprofessional at our grade school. You know, she would grade papers and help proctor tests, and she would monitor the lunchroom, and she would you know, be a kid wrangler during recess and be a referee and, you know, doing all those other things, that all the important things in a school that aren't exactly teaching. And so we knew this guy, and he lived, you know, two blocks away from us. And as I said, well, okay, does he play guitar? Fine. And so we got him, and we had ourselves a sweet little band. We picked up a couple more guys. But this is not the time for the story of Simple Mania. That might come later. Right now, I need to take a little break, get something to drink. So, I'll do that while you listen to this. Did I mention that I'm drinking tea? Oh, but Tobe, aren't you always drinking tea? Yes, I am always drinking tea, but today, right now, I'm drinking two teas at once. And I don't mean two different kinds. It's the same. No, is it the same? I can't remember what I poured in here now. It might be different. Regardless, I have hot tea and I have cold tea. I've got my big, big cup of steaming hot tea, and I've got a styrofoam cup full of iced tea, and I'm drinking them both, switching back and forth, trying to make sure that I keep the balance just right. And because I got to drink the hot tea for my throat, but hot tea makes me hot and I can't get hot, and I got to stay cool, so I got to drink the cold tea to keep me cool. So I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you guys are thinking, well, why don't you just drink lukewarm tea and kill two birds with one stone? Oh my God, I would never kill birds, especially with a rock. That's the dumb way to do it. If you're going to kill something, there's easier ways. So I got the, you know, I think we're going to have a sip of the hot tea right now. Oh, I can smell all the bergamot. Oh, I can even see the multicolored oil slick on the top from the bergamot oil. Oh, look at that, all that shiny iridescence. Let's take a sip. I like to try to skim the oil slick off the top, because this is a brand new fresh cup of tea. Oh, hot, 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 hot. Oh, it's so yummy. Oh, it's also very hot. Hot, hot, hot. Ooh. Okay. I'm okay. Yes, you can help me. I need some more tea. And of course, as soon as I start recording and doing stuff in here, and when I say doing stuff in here, I mean in the master control room where I sit right now, guess who's outside the door going, "Mew, mew, oh, nobody pays any attention to me." We did kitty stuff 8 times already today. Oh my God, this is one of those days where, oh, we have to do kitty stuff once an hour, every hour. It's like clockwork. The cat, yang, 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 oh, we gotta do some kitty stuff. And then I gotta go in the other room, wrap the kitty blanket around my legs so I don't get kitty claw marks up and down my legs and bleed too much. And then we gotta do kitty stuff, and I gotta get the brush, and I gotta brush the kitty. We already did it 8 times today already, so we're not going to go out and do it now. Now, I realize this next statement might seem like a non sequitur, but my shoes, most of my shirts, some of my pants, including my shorts, actually only have, yeah, these sweatpants, my kitty pants, my shoes, my pots and pans, and some of my shirts are all the same brand. That's right. I buy my shoes from and shirts from the same company that makes pots and pans. And something else even occurs to me that you need to know. My favorite adhesive is epoxy. Generally, something with like a 60 to 120 cure time, minute cure time. I don't like fast epoxies because they end up being brittle, and that heat from that fast of an exothermic reaction kind of messes up stuff, and you gotta kind of watch it. And I don't like slow cure epoxies because it takes forever. I'm a man of very little patience. So I do love epoxy, and of course any ultraviolet cured epoxy, but still, since that's one of those instant set things, it's not always so great. I do like to sometimes use E9000 for things, especially when I need to like glue plastic to metal or do something weird like that. Of course, I'm always a big fan of PVA, what normal people usually call white glue, or in America, Elmer's glue. That's a metonym. Victims of cynic douche we are. Oh wait, this isn't the big word intellectual show. This is Tobe talking. Oh, that's right, I'm talking about my favorite glues. And I hate super glue. I hate every single goddamn kind of cyanoacrylic glue, no matter what. Yes, I do understand that you can get catalysts for them, and I actually do have a couple bottles of CA catalyst, and I do have a bunch of tubes of cyanoacrylic glue, because there are one or two times in my life I do have to use it every once in a while, whether I like it or not, and I do not. I was just watching TV, I don't know, about half an hour ago before I started doing this, and I was going by that show with Guy Fieri where he drives around to places in that car and he eats people's food, and this lady was making tater tots, and it was a big deal because homemade tater tots, I don't understand, but I've never really been a tater tot guy or a hash brown guy or a french fry person. I like potatoes in general, and I will eat some french fries, but I'm not one of those people who, oh, I gotta go through the drive-thru and just get some french fries. Well, why would you do that? And you know, it's weird, is I don't really eat that much potato otherwise. I was eating baked potatoes there for a while. I went on this craving spree where I like every day for about, I don't know, a month and a half, I probably ate a baked potato. I stopped doing that. I don't remember why. Oh, just because it was annoying and hot. And baking potatoes takes an hour in a 450 degree oven or whatever. And, you know, that just heats up your house for no reason. Why are we doing that? I don't know. But I am a big fan of sweet potato fries, although I rarely eat them, you know. Oh, I love them, but there used to be a brew pub downtown that they would make their own, and they would fry them up with like shallots or something, and they had their own funky little dipping sauces like datil ketchup and spicy apricot marmalade dip. That was really good. Nom 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 nom. I'd go out down there just to eat those damn fries. Sweet potatoes. Man, now I'm kind of hungry for sweet potato fries. But I don't even know where to go to get any. Or do I? Let me think about that one for a second. Last night I went to the store, and while I was walking through the store, I had to get something else. I don't remember what I was getting. And then I remembered, oh, I gotta get some cookies. I'm running low on cookies. I only have about a dozen cookies left. This is like the first time in my life I've ever remembered I needed to buy something before I ran out of it. So I found the cookie aisle. I went down the wrong aisle like twice, because I always think it's the sugar aisle. Then I always think it's the baking aisle, because you would think that the cookies are in the baking aisle, because the first thing you see is like chocolate chips and crushed nuts, and then there's flour down there. So yeah, that's what you make cookies out of, so you think the cookies are going to be down there. They're not. They're in the next aisle. So I go down and I find where my cookies are supposed to be on the shelf, and I see a sale tag, and I'm getting kind of excited because it's a good price. I don't remember what it was, like $3 for $5 or something like that. But of course, the shelf is decimated. And of course, the cookies I want are all gone, are all sold out. And there's the packs of the chocolate ones and the chocolate and vanilla ones, and there's the lemon ones and then the other ones. It's like 8 different kinds. Oh, but mine are not there, and I was getting kind of pissed off. And so then I went down another aisle and I bought something else. Not cookies. Oh, I bought some graham crackers. And now I can't remember if I can eat graham crackers or not. I guess we're going to find out. And then I was thinking the other day, you know what we should... Oh, wait. I see kitty paws under the door. Somebody's sticking kitty feet, and I can see kitty toes under the door. They look like little pieces of bubblegum. Bubblegum kitty toes with fur sticking out. My cat has furry toes. The pads of her toes are not furry, but there's fur in between her toes. And it's very long, just like all the rest of the fur on this cat, even though it's not a long-haired cat. Oh, hey, remember that free lottery ticket that I got for filling out the lottery survey? I forgot to tell you that I eventually... Where is it? There it is. I scratched it off, and it's a winner. I won $5, and not just one $5 prize, I won 5 prizes. Each one was a dollar. Woohoo! Because that makes me feel even more special. Because I got to scratch off, ooh, I won, 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 ooh, I didn't win, ooh, I didn't win, because there's 7 little things on here. 925 is the name of this game, and what am I going to do with this lottery ticket? I'm going to take it back down to the convenience store, and I'm going to say, hey, give me 5 more of these super lucky, super fun time lottery tickets, and then I will scratch them off, and I'll probably tell you all about it. I'm looking at the clock, and I see we're getting close to running down some time, so I guess this is not the time to start my dice show. You know, I'm always talking about doing a dice show, and I could do multiple dice shows, because just topics and dice are topics that I like to talk about. And you know me, I'll talk about anything for any length of time. It can be 1 second, or it can be for 5 hours. And one of the first topics I'm going to cover is not polyhedral dice, because you all know what they are. There's no reason to go into it. But maybe we'll talk a little bit about them at some point in time. The first thing we're going to talk about is one of my favorite subjects, door pops. And if you don't know what door pops are, I guess you can learn between here and now if you want. Or you can listen to the Dice Show, which will be a future episode. You will definitely learn why you need to adhere to the old adage of never shoot dice with a guy named Pops. There is a reason for that. You need to learn it. So you will. But right now, I just need to thank you for listening to me. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm the president. I'm the CEO. I'm the corrupt financial officer, among other things. But my time is up, so I will see you tomorrow.
We rock the body, rock the body.